I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. We f***ed it. Anyway, you'll find a way.
James has gone to America to tell people about his podcast, grow more listeners, and make more money for his boat. Today he's in
New York. Hey, we're in New York.
I got a gun. Let's get to a Broadway show.
Welcome to the many new American fans. People have been writing to me on Instagram and on YouTube.
Hey, just wanted to let you know I saw you on the Matt and Shane podcast talking about your circumcision. Just wanted to let you know you were a liar.
We have accrued many new glorious American fans. And so to the American fans, I'd like to say hello, welcome. Here's a little about me. I'm James Donald Forbes McCann. I'm a humble suburban father of two, almost three. I'm in Adelaide, but at the moment I'm in Queens, which is much nicer than the film Coming to America made it out to be. I guess a lot of time has gone past and a lot of homeless people have died from fentanyl. But it is really nice being here in America, having you, new American fans. The point of this podcast is to use a podcast to earn enough money for me to buy a boat, a catamaran, $500,000. And at the moment, how far are we along to that goal?
We are so far away from that goal that James is now in New York City with no money.
I was walking through Times Square, and a man came up to me, and he said, "For the children." Maybe he said for the kids.
My sister kids, you know, I ain't ashamed. We family. You know, my sister on drugs. Yeah, I ain't ashamed to tell you. I got her kids.
And I said, "Excuse me?" And he said, "Man, do you like music?" And I said, sure. And he said, look at this. Get the QR code. And he put a CD into my hands with a QR code on it. And I said, "Oh, okay." And then again he said, "Now this is for the kids."
And the 6-year-old, he old homosexual.
I didn't understand what was happening. But I only had $10 on me at the time. It's my last American $10. And all of a sudden he had my $10. I guess I took it out of my pocket and I gave it to him. And I said, "Really, that's the only $10 I have." And he said, "I'll give you change." And so he was going through, he put the $10 into his pocket and he took out 2 fives. And another man next to him came up and gave me a CD and said, "Split it." And I said, "I don't know why I said this, because I did want the money back." But I said, "Okay." And then I had 2 CDs and they each had $5. I don't even have a way to play a CD. I don't have a CD player. I respect the energy. You know, personally, that's not I don't know how many people become successful in the music industry with that sort of tactic. I haven't gone and listened to the music, but I guess I'm looking forward to it. Maybe I could be handing people flyers in Times Square about the catamaran plan. Is that the best use of my energy? Is that the best way to grow it? Hey man, try and buy a boat, $5? I just don't think I have that in me. And then last night I went to a comedy show, and there was a distressed woman at the bar saying, "Does anybody have an iPhone charger?" And I said, "Yeah, here's an iPhone charger." And it was, you know, it's an Australian one, but it's got that adapter to go into the weak, soft United States power. Not like our good, firm Australian power. And I went off into the comedy show with just her phone charging behind the bar, and I came out after the comedy show and I said to the barman, "Can I please, can I get my charger back?" And he said, "Oh no, the woman took it." I said, "What?" And he said, "Yeah, the woman, she took it. Like, when she asked for her phone back, she said, 'Give me the charger too,' and she walked out." And I just, okay, all right then. I guess I'm a big rube here in New York City. And yet, even though I've had to go out and buy another phone charger and I don't have any money, I'm having a really nice time. It's the architecture. It's the walking. I've got blisters on my feet. I've got big blisters on my feet from walking around Manhattan yesterday. I must have walked a great number of miles, to use their parlance. So much so that I've got big blisters on my feet. And I went out and I bought Band-Aids to put on my feet today. They've got black Band-Aids. They've got skin tone matching Band-Aids. I was aware that this was the normal, you know, if I say normal Band-Aids, looking out my window, there's a squirrel. There's a real squirrel. They're so industrious with their puffy tails. They're always looking for things to do. You know, people say that man is the only animal who toils, you know? The birds of the sky and the flowers in the fields, they don't have to work to look beautiful. But these squirrels, they really work. They're very hard, very Protestant squirrels, getting things done. I went to the cathedral here. I forget what saint it is. I went to the cathedral in Manhattan near... Oh, it was near a lot of stuff. There was a toilet in the cathedral. I didn't know that was allowed. I've never seen a toilet in a church before. It's always off, you know, down a corridor or something. But this, I walked up. Yes, I did a poop in the cathedral. Didn't feel right. I had just been to confession, when I came out from doing the poop, you know, running mass all the time. And people were lining up to get the Eucharist. And I thought, but I've just pooped. I don't know if there's a canon law against pooping and having the Eucharist. But it did feel like there shouldn't be a toilet in there. Do you know what I mean? What's going on there in the toilet department? I got to go to the First Things office. That was incredible. I've got to do a lot of things. I got to go on the Matt and Shane Secret podcast. I got to go on the New Polity podcast. I got to do the Matt Frad podcast. I've done so many podcasts while I've been here. It's a lot. You know, in Australia, you do a podcast. It's nice. I talked to Josh Earle about some music and I get two tweets. But this is, I've just, hundreds and hundreds of people leaving comments about me on the YouTube, mostly positive. But I did talk about having had a circumcision, and there's a lot of pushback from the anti-circumcision mafia who seem to think that I must be lying about having had a positive circumcision, as though Big Briss is paying me to make circumcisions seem better than they really are. Well, I'm not taking it back. I love my new penis. I'm having a great time. But I do feel just deeply... spiritually tired. I've been away for too long from my family, and there's more to go. I'm in LA next week, and I've just hit the I think I've hit the wall. I've done gigs here. I think I've found out what bits work and what bits don't. I'm doing a gig with Simon Taylor on Monday in Los Angeles. And I think I've now figured out what will work and what won't work for an American crowd. But good Lord, I'm so tired. My poo has changed colour. That's something that I noticed before I did my poop in the cathedral. My poo has changed colour. It's become a much darker colour. And I assume that's because of the food. Something in the food here is different. But it may be because I've developed stomach cancer. And I won't really know until I'm back in Adelaide whether or not I have a gastrointestinal cancer or the food. If my poop brightens up again. Man, the toilets here. So big. So full of water. And the water is so close to the bottom. The poop just in Australia, there's a good 30 centimetres. I don't know what you call that here. It's like 8 inches. Like a big, long erection's worth of gap between anus and water that the poop must traverse through. And then there's, of course, a splash. But here it's just sphincter to surface, just like that. Psk, psk, psk. I'm listening to the music here. Not the music on the CD, but other music. I'm staying with a man who's playing me a lot of southern rap from the early 2000s. I wasn't really across southern rap pre-Outkast, but I am now. Had quite the education. Drop tops. Tops pop. Drop tops, top pop. Great beats. Good times. Mercy me. Ladies and gentlemen. I was at a great writer's office, just weirdly, because I asked and then I was there. And he had the collected letters, like the encyclicals of Pope Leo XIII. And I just sat and read Pope Leo XIII's encyclicals for an hour. It was tremendous. It was such big energy. Huge. Fuck you. This is how it is. Popes don't write like that anymore. All the popes now are like, in, do you know what I mean? That's the tone of the current. If you, well, I think, and of course, and but this guy was like, nah, fuck you. This is how it is. Pope Leo XIII. He obviously, there was less cussing, but you could feel the righteous indignation and the certainty of his position. It was exhilarating. It was really something. On today's Ocean News, something a little more serious. Now, I will say, well, I'll say the article first. The article is called EV battery materials are now being mined from the ocean floor, but environmental impact remains unclear. And that's from a website called Automotive News, who I think by the name of that publication, they probably don't do ocean news all that often. But as this pertains to cars, they've decided to jump in and write a story about it. And the story is that the materials they need to make environmentally sustainable car batteries are on the ocean floor, and that people are doing deep sea mining that may be bad, you know, like environmentally on the ocean floor, but they're doing it under the guise of making it for nice environmentally friendly cars. It's a lot of trade-offs. Nothing really comes out good in the end. But I just wanted to share this story that it existed because, I've been doing some digging of my own. Digging on the ocean floor? Not quite. Investigative digging. Because I'm working on making a... when the baby comes in December, I'd like to have some pre-recorded bits for the catamaran plan. So I've been researching incredible sea mysteries that I could just talk about extemporaneously, and that would still be something joyful for you to listen to. And as I'm reading about the Marinara Trench, and that's a name that I'm definitely getting wrong, but it's the deepest trench in the world, I've been watching documentaries about the this big deep trench, the Challenger bit. It's very deep. And some of these documentaries have been by the Japanese. And I was just thinking, you know, they're making it look like the Japanese scientists just want to find out about deep sea fish. Are there enough deep sea fish there? And as I was watching it, I thought, that's weird, because Japan is not like a global hegemonic superpower anymore. So why is it, you know, I understand America doing deep sea stuff. They got money to burn. I understand China doing it. They're trying to show they're the new America. I thought, why is Japan spending all this money sending teams of academics down to the seafloor and paying David Attenborough to do the voiceover in this documentary? Is it just for the love of the deep sea? And I see now from this automotive news, EV battery materials are now being mined from the ocean floor. Who has a big car industry, America? But that's not the answer I was looking for. It's Japan. Japan, they're not interested in the deep sea at all. For its own sake, for the love of knowledge, to see what the little crustaceans and sea cucumbers and potentially fish are doing. They're doing it to mine batteries for cars. Shame on you, Japan. Really? Shame. We ended your terrestrial colonization for resources, and now you've just taken it to the deep sea. Did you learn nothing from Godzilla, Japan? Do you not know what's down there? Shame on you, Japan. Shame on Japan.
You misunderstand.
I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, all right? I don't want to hear it.
Here is a little something from the New Polity podcast.
We want every relationship in the community to be one of family.
Yeah.
And to not want to rip people off and destroy them.
That's right.
Which is like, I can see how you've come to that conclusion living in this country, because that is, you've turned that up to 11 here. You buy plane tickets. I flew Spirit.
Yeah.
They're auctioning off, you know, like legroom, but they're having an actual auction with sick, tired people. And then they've overbooked the flight on purpose.
Right.
Right? Thinking that people won't make the flight. And then they offer you money to not get on the flight that they've purposefully overbooked. I mean, it's just transparently going, you are cattle. You get in that big metal tube and we take your money. You go to the website. I'm glad I didn't book my tickets when I was as tired as I am now. You have to say no to a credit card on four different pages. You have to say, no, I still don't want your credit card. I don't live here.
Yeah, and then they try to sell you insurance.
I took a screenshot of them trying to sell me the insurance, because they take things that either should be included, right? Like here's one of the things they get you to pay for. If the airline declares bankruptcy and doesn't exist anymore, you'll get your money back, right? Someone is paying the $5 bonus, the insolvency insurance. And then they have, right, because they want to keep the price low and get you to, they want you to click on that fare because it's, I'm explaining so badly, I apologize.
No, it's true. It's
but like, they sell it to you. They've got a quote from the New Yorker, right, going, everybody should be buying this insurance. So someone, they're buying ads at the New Yorker.
And citing themselves.
And citing themselves back.
Yeah.
To get you, and then if you say, no, I don't want the insurance, they go, it's recommend. Are you sure you don't want, what if you get COVID and you can't fly? The hate, you really feel that they actually dislike you as a person, and they do want to make you suffer as much
true.
As you can.
Yeah,
and this is a unique, not a uniquely American thing. I think this is true of capitalism everywhere.
But don't you want to fight for the affection of someone that hates you? I think that's what they're doing.
Yes, and you want to get in the lounge. You want to be flying Delta. You want to be on one of the good airplanes where they treat you with respect.
It feels like victory over your enemies in some way.
Yeah.
Well, it would be hard once you'd made it to want to tear up the system, right? When you're in the lounge and you get a little pod and they rub your shoulders and things.
They give you the umbrella and your orange juice.
Oh, come on now. That's what I'm talking about. Get me up in the lounge.
You're speaking about the same thing.
What's the other? The tipping. I wanted to ask you about the.
Sure.
It feels like a gamble when you order a meal here, how much you'll be charged. It's very hard for me to estimate. Sure. Do you know what I'm.
Because you don't have tipping in Australia because you hate people.
Well, we pay them a minimum wage.
Right.
I feel this is fundamental. Is you ask the business to be set up in such a way that your value as a person, you don't have to decide not to make someone starve who's working for you, that you just have, like every other business in society, they're taking care of their worker. They're not just – whereas here every meal is an audition.
Yeah.
The wait staff is – these people are scared. I think.
Yeah.
This is important. They're asking how I am over – go away.
Yeah.
I don't
– Yeah, well, you know, the theatrics really get you somewhere in America.
I have a podcast. I want to ask you this question. Maybe now would be a good starting point.
Okay, let's do it.
I had a dream, right?
Okay.
Now, where does the Holy Spirit disconnect from a manic episode? I don't know personally. You know, sometimes you think Kanye West, Mr. Ye, whatever he's, I think Ye is currently the name.
That's his legal entity. Yeah.
I think sometimes he's having an upswing.
Yep.
And sometimes maybe the Holy Spirit is moving through that man, but it's hard to know.
Yeah.
So I decided I should buy a boat. I don't have enough money to feed my family. I've left my, we rent at exorbitant rates. I don't own a home. I don't own a lot of money, but I thought I should buy a $500,000 catamaran. That this is maybe what I'm. The tradition is not absent of examples of people who suddenly feel the need to get a boat.
Yeah, no, you know? Absolutely.
One example. But so my podcast is called the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. And it's about trying to use a podcast to get enough money to buy a boat. I started listening to this podcast shortly after I started that podcast, and I immediately had a crisis of confidence as to whether or not. In the religion that I've happily opted into, it was permissible for me in my station to try to have a boat. And then, you know.
Could be cool.
I think it would be very cool.
What are you going to do with the boat?
Don't know.
All right.
Don't even really want the boat. But I feel, this is what I mean about the manic episode and the Holy, like, when are we called to do something? When are we insane? That's discernment and that's personal. I'll get there in the end. So I'm trying to only do projects, though, that I can pray for and work on and that are moral. And I wish to raise some of them with you.
Cool.
Because, okay, so the first thing we did was an ad auction. I took...
An ad auction.
Sorry, I apologize for my accent. An art.
Art.
Art. Like paintings, art. Yeah.
No, it was Art Guthrie. And we put him on a block and I... charge money for his services.
There's a joke. What does the West Virginian say when you ask him if he wants to see some beautiful paintings?
What does the West Virginian say when you ask him that?
Art.
I don't get it personally.
Way over my head.
But I.
He says, art.
Oh, he's saying art.
No. I have only been to West Virginia for about 35 seconds.
Yeah, we drove through there.
Yeah.
Oh, did you pick him up this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's cool. One of the reasons I'm so tired. Well, that's not the reason I'm so tired.
I can't believe you've... I'll get back to the catamaran in a moment.
I'm feeling pretty well rested, actually. I think well, I'm
congratulations to you. I wish. I can't... You picked me up from the airport. I didn't put this on my own podcast that you were going to do this because I didn't want you suddenly having carte blanche from crazy people. Going, I hear if you're right to this guy, puts you up in his house and picks you up from the airport. I just thought I would be discreet.
People do that anyway. It's fine.
Yeah, but I would have found somebody if I couldn't do it.
But you want a society that is open to vice, right? Like correct. A virtuous society that can be undone by people doing the wrong thing.
What, and that's wonderful. Thank you for saying that. Mm-hmm. It just makes me feel like that's a very important
idea.
Podcast. I know, but it actually like you have it in your head now.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's
great. Podcast works wonders. It's much better than my podcast. I love your podcast. However, a prudence comes into it as well.
Sure.
You've got a young family. You know, I look like a crazy person. I'm a wild-eyed people. You don't know what I'm more normal when I've slept in the last 4 days or whatever number that is. How do you, I mean, also the Catholic Church has a long history of being open to people and having the best intentions and then going, goodness gracious me, that's been terribly undone by by predators, right? Like where... So I think about myself and my life and my family and how I can, be a guest to people.
Predators, that's a good example, especially like with the sexual abuse crisis, because it was actually a
response. I was talking about liturgical prey.
Liturgical prey.
Sorry. No. liturgical abuses. That was one thing. The sex stuff is also bad.
Well, it's because I was thinking in reference to like staying at people's houses and such.
Yes.
But it's always seemed to me that the response of like, well, let's do a centralized like solution that Cardinal McCarrick invented, in which we all essentially sign up to spy on each other as a way of like preventing sexual abuse is insane.
Yes.
It's an insurance.
But you know, I think this is the thing. We have been told for so long that man is dirty, nasty, vile, and gross.
Yes.
That we just actually started to believe it when it's just not the case.
And I'm not even very hospitable. I mean, Jacob's like, he never has a guest room open because it's already taken. I've just stopped asking. whereas I, it's more of a like, you know, struggle of the will to say,
yes,
let's invite and
people. I appreciate he's that. Also like taking care of like not only young kids, but also older in-laws.
We have my dad staying with us as well. I'm the young kids.
How is that?
How you doing?
Yeah.
Tell you about it. No, it's great. It's so great. We're in a 2-bedroom apartment with, with like a lot of, well, it's a house. It's a house, but there's a lot of asbestos. And whatever. And it's great.
Do you rub it? Pick at
the
it?
Asbestos.
Yeah.
Just to help.
Do you lines?
You can eat it.
Lines of asbestos.
You can
eat
asbestos. Too close to a suicide.
Another hour of that podcast is available on New Polity.
I got a gun.
Hey, we're in New York.
I got a gun. I got a gun. I got a gun. Let's get to a Broadway show. To a Broadway show. To a Broadway show.
Hey, we're in New York.
I got a gun.
Hey, we're in New York.
I guess kids get this.
Oh, they love it.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, like, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.